his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. Well, crew members, welcome aboard to Caleb's Canoe. And I'm going to introduce something today that we're going to be going into after I'm finished the series on prophecy. If you remember, we started a year ago, a series on prophecy today. And what I did each day was look at the news headlines and try to actually look into the headlines themselves and see how prophecy in Scripture is actually being fulfilled through those particular events. Well, we're going to be starting a new series, and the new series is going to be primarily directed at children. In fact, we're actually going to use very complex biblical scripture, but explain it that even a child could understand it. And because I've had a lot of experience with children, I taught grades kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade. I was certified in both elementary education and secondary. I also taught at community colleges and at colleges and even graduate school. So basically, I've been able to teach groups from as early as 5 all the way up to in their 60s. So I'm going to take a look at some of the simple things that we see in nature. And one of the things I have done in my life as I was a naturalist for Baltimore County Public Schools, and in doing so, I was constantly looking at nature. And being a Christian, I was always comparing the things that I would observe in nature into Scripture. Well, you know, if you look at a particular Scripture that says it all right here is in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from that which was made, so that people are without an excuse. So I'm going to give you a taste of that. And I actually got my first experience with how you can actually take observations from nature and use them in Scripture. And it happened to be that many, many years ago, I was at a Bill Gothard seminar. And one of the things that I did, it was on a Friday or a Thursday evening, and I had to take off Friday and Saturday for this particular conference that he has. And one of the things that came out of it, I bought a book. It was called Character Sketches. And in it, it used animals and then related them to Scripture. So I'm going to begin doing that. And it just so happens that we left off last week we were focusing on a song, Slow Fade, how slowly Christians tend to fade away, how they basically are like that frog that slowly gets heated in water and doesn't realize he's being cooked. So we're going to take a look at that particular issue. And I left off last time with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I want to relate that to one of the things that I was very fond of, and that was butterflies and moths. And one of the things that we see in that is what we call metamorphosis. We see the egg is laid, it hatches into a caterpillar, and the caterpillar eventually gets into a chrysalis, and the chrysalis then a butterfly emerges slowly from the chrysalis, and so forth. So I'm going to use that as an example of what we're going to be getting into, and then we're going to take off from there and continue on with our series of basically prophecy in today. So let's just take a look at this butterfly. Now, one of the things you realize that a butterfly, before it becomes a butterfly, is a caterpillar. Now, a caterpillar is a very destructive organism. There's some caterpillars, and I had to be very aware of them because many of the times I'd be out with children hiking through the nature trails at Oregon Ridge Nature Center, and we would run across caterpillars that I didn't want them to touch. For example, there's a Tazar silkworm caterpillar, and that's been reported and responsible for hundreds of casualties. You can be injured by touching a Tazar silkworm caterpillar. And also there's the buck moth larva, which will cause difficulty in breathing if you touch it, and the hickory tussocks caterpillar. It can cause allergic reactions. And then one of my favorites, because I frequently would run into this one, the saddleback caterpillar, and that one actually can cause your blood cells to explode. very painful sting. Stinging rose caterpillar lives up to its name. And the Io moth caterpillars have a lethal sting. They can kill you. And I've had experiences, a lot of them actually, with caterpillars, in addition to being at the Nature Center. I remember bought a new house, and one of the things I wanted to do was have a garden like my parents had back home. And so I dug up a part of the lawn, and I planted tomatoes, and that was going to be my first, basically, product that I produced. And after a while, I saw them growing, and they came up, and all of a sudden, I saw little tiny flowers forming, and I was getting excited. Then all of a sudden, I came out one day, and most of the leaves were gone, and there was this huge creature called a tomato hornworm that had eaten the leaves. And one of the things I saw was the destructive nature of caterpillars. And, you know, even caterpillars that we can admire and touch. I remember one called the woolly bear. You remember, that's the one that comes out in late fall, so it's just prior to winter. And there's mythology involved around it, saying that the more black, it's basically black and sort of a brownish red, and the more black it had, the harder the winter was going to be. Well, that was just a folk tale. But caterpillars are very dangerous, okay? And they're very destructive. In fact, a caterpillar actually increases its size from when it's born 2,600 times. So they're very... 27,000 times its original size. So we can see they're destructive, and they're in nature. So I like to compare that to us before we were saved. Very destructive. Man is going to be judged someday for the way he handles nature. We can see that in the book of Revelation. So we see that this is one of the destructive parts. But yet what happens? It forms a chrysalis, and then the chrysalis then eventually emerges a butterfly. But that butterfly is not able to fly yet. It sits there, and it's all wrinkled up. And one of the things it has to do, it has to take a part of its body that was part of its intestines, and it was basically liquefied into a red-colored liquid, which is called meconium. If you're a woman and you had gave birth to children, you may have noticed sometimes the meconium comes out after birth, sometimes all over the poor baby, has to be washed off. But what he uses this red substance for is to pump up his wings. So we can see he starts off and, you know, it's a butterfly, but it can't fly. It has to basically pump up. And I like to compare that to what we have to do as believers. We have to pump ourselves up with the blood of Christ. We have to read the scriptures. We have to fill ourselves with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit can bring to us. So they sit there and they pump it up. Now, what's kind of interesting is sometimes butterflies never come out of that stage. They basically do not pump their wings up, and they basically just die right there. And one of the things you can see is that this happens in people sometimes, because if you're a believer, yes, you can get saved, but if you do nothing from that point on, you're exactly like seeking basically eternal youth through being a butterfly, but not being a fully developed butterfly. And remember, there's Herodotus, who was the father of history. He basically talked about something called the fountain of youth. He actually said that there was waters that were in Ethiopia that could make you live longer. And of course, we see the same basically concept with Ponce de Leon. He went searching for something that would keep him young forever, the fountain of youth. And even in that movie, Indiana Jones, we see that one of the things they were searching for was the grail, the Holy Grail, and they were hoping that when they drank from it, they would have eternal youth. So you can see this, and you can see it in Peter Pan. Peter Pan is also someone who never grew up. So there is a desire for Christians, after they become a Christian, is to not grow. And this is an important part of it. You know, and also we have to be very careful, because we can also stunt our growth by listening to the wrong people. We've brought this up many times about the fact that many particular people who call themselves Christians are false prophets, false teachers. I guess you can use an example of Icarus. Remember Icarus, his father, Daedalus? He actually made him wings so he could fly, but his wings were put together with wax. And he warned his son, don't fly too close to the sun, because the wax will melt and your feathers will fall off and you fall. Well, he didn't listen and he got too close. You know, it's sort of like when we're really listening to the wrong people and we get close to the Lord, the Son of God. Okay, we can see that all those things will fall away. So we see these, and you know, I have to mention something because, you know, as a butterfly, there's something called the butterfly effect. It's a very interesting theory called the chaos theory, that a butterfly that flaps its wing in the Amazon can affect the weather in Europe. So we want to be flapping our wings because you never know how far the desires that you have, the knowledge that you gain from the Lord is going to affect other people. And, you know, we have to be careful because, okay, so there you are, you pump up your wings and you're starting to fly. Now, you have to be careful where you fly. There are many predators out there. And one of the things I noticed about butterflies is many times they actually can sense when they're being attacked. And what they do is they tort their wings and drop. In fact, when I was at doing nature programs, we used to play a game called Bat Moth. And what would happen is we'd have somebody that was blindfolded, and they would be in the center of a circle. And when they said bat, all the participants had to say moth, and they would then try to zero in on their location. Well, one of the defense mechanisms that the students use is when they got close and they tried to grab them, they would swoop down or crouch down. This is exactly what butterflies and moths do when they feel the echolocation of a bat coming towards them. So we have to be aware of those. And there's other problems that we can have. One of the things that I remember is when I would be canoeing and leading canoe trips down the Gunpowder River, I would see off to the side, I would see just tremendous numbers of butterflies all on the ground. And I wondered, well, what are they doing? So I landed and went out and looked, and it was a party spot, and there was beer bottles everywhere. Well, it just so happens that butterflies like stale beer. In fact, when I was collecting insects for my project when I was in graduate school for entomology, I remember that one of the things I did was take stale beer and smear it on a towel, hang it up, and sure enough, butterflies would come close, and I would be able to catch them with my net, and so same at night with the moths. So, you know, one of the things I think about when I think about them drinking beer, you know, they actually become disoriented and fly sometimes not so straight because they've drank too much beer. Same thing happens, by the way, with mosquitoes. They actually also gathered around these party spots where stale beer was present. So we see that this is a part of the stories that I'm going to be bringing to, taking a look at some of these things in nature that we see that we actually can relate to Scripture. I'll give you some other interesting facts about butterflies. The wings of the butterflies are actually transparent. The vivid colors we see are due to overlapping bright scales. In other words, they're reflecting the light, but yet they're transparent. You know, when you look at God is described as being God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And I remember I did several experiments in front of my class that I teach at Good Samaritan, and I brought a prism one day, and I shined a light through it, and of course it broke down into the colors of the rainbow, and that's the visible light. But you know, also what I did was I took a laser pen, and I shined it on the wall, and then I took basically air freshener and sprayed it, and you could see the actual beam by the particles of the air freshener that came down. In other words, I was teaching them the fact that we become Christians, we reflect God's light. That's an important concept. We need to reflect God's light, okay? Just like we did with the particular demonstration that I did. So, you know, one of the things we also see about butterflies is they are basically, they're intricate, they're beautiful. Okay? And because of their beauty, we're attracted to them. Well, you know, we're told by Scripture in Matthew, it says, let your light so shine so that they may see all your good works and glorify your Father. So we can see here's another example. And also, you know, an interesting fact about butterflies is they actually can see more than we can see because we can only see in the visible spectrum, but they can see ultraviolet. And that's one of the things that attract them to the flowers. And also, butterflies have another interesting ability. They actually taste with their legs. And I was thinking about this. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we can see, we can relate these qualities of the butterfly into Scripture. And that's one of the directions we're going to be proceeding along when we get into teaching basically children and adults through nature these complex biblical scriptures. So, you know, also butterflies can't fly when it's below 55 degrees. We have to be heated up. You know, I remember Jeremiah talked about the fact he was burning. He was literally burning like fire because the Lord had given him the word and he had to bring it out. He had to basically prophesy. It was part of him. So we see that. And not only that, you know, I remember, I think I brought this up before, but I'll bring it up now, as the idea that was brought out in that famous Disney film, Alice in Wonderland. And one of the things is Alice comes up and there's this caterpillar, again, okay, smoking, and he's smoking a hookah, probably basically marijuana. And one of the things you see in this particular series of the series of Alice in Wonderland, you see the drugs are used in all kinds of different ways. But one of the things he says to Alice is very interesting. He says, "You," he said, "are a terrible real thing in a terrible false world. And that, I believe, is why you're so much in pain." You know, this is really great because it fits right into Scripture. You know, one of the things we see in Scripture is we know that we're groaning. We're waiting for when we will be transformed into the body of Christ and be Him, because we'll see Him as He is. And also, she says something else. The caterpillar says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I hardly know, sir. I've been changed so many times." Remember, she says, one pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. The one your mother does, that gives you, doesn't do anything at all. That's from basically Jefferson Airplane and White Rabbit. So we can see, relate this to Scripture in Romans 8, 22 to 24. "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we as believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We so long for our bodies to be released from sin." So we see this, and I think that I mentioned this before, but I'll mention again, there's three important questions that you need to ask yourself. The first question is, who are you? The second question is, where are you going? And the third question is, who is God? Now, we know we were made in the image of God. If you believe that, that puts you in a particular position. You are in the image of God. You belong to Him. Where you're going into eternity with the Lord. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So we can see that this is an important concept. So this is where I'm going to be going. As you just saw, I sort of just went into one particular part of nature, the change, the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly. And you can see how God, in His creation, has basically given us evidence of Himself through the things that He's created. And we're going to be doing that. And we won't start for about 2.5 months, because I actually work about 2.5 months ahead. So the broadcast will come out about 2.5 months from now. But be looking for it. And here's another thing that I brought up. And I was thinking about another. One of my favorite of all Disney movies was Pinocchio. And I remember in Pinocchio, he sings this song. He says, "I got no strings to hold me down, to make me fret or make me frown. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. Hi-ho the merry-o, I'm as happy as I can be. The world to know nothing ever worries me. I've got no strings, so I have fun." Now, when we become believers, in addition to being a new creation, the strings that Satan had on us are removed, and now we're free. But we have to be ever wary, because even though we're free from the strings, and the strings that actually can make us be manipulated by Satan, one of the things we see in Pinocchio is the fact that even though he's free now, he gets basically conned into going to Pleasure Island. And you know what happens at Pleasure Island? He starts imbibing in all these pleasures, breaking windows and so forth, eating all the candy that he wants. And one of the things that is said of one of the men that are actually using this as a tool to get them to turn into what? To a jackass. Okay, remember? Give a bad boy enough rope and soon he'll make a jackass out of himself. So we see that we have to be careful. Yes, the strings of Satan have been removed, but now we're free, just like that butterfly. Are we going to fly? Are we going to make and glorify God through ourselves, through what we do? This is important. And, you know, I think about these strings, and I remember one of the movies that is rated one of the top 10 movies of all time is The Godfather. And when you look at it, you see that there is a man holding the puppet strings. You see, he wanted to be, Godfather wanted to be the one that pulled the strings. And, you know, in my life, I remember oh gosh, early on, all the shows that you saw were really heartwarming, family-oriented, even the TV shows that came out, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, they were all geared towards families, Christian families, was Christian values. And I was thinking of a song, and it was in one of the movies that actually won 8 Academy Awards, and that was Going My Way with Bing Crosby. And it was about a priest, basically. There was a young priest and an old priest, and they sort of, one was looking towards the old ways and the other to the new ways. But one of the things is they sang a song in this, and it actually won the best song for that year. And the song went, would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, or be better off than you are, or would you rather be a mule? And then he describes the mule. A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at anything he hears. His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. So we see these things back then. And yet later on, you got somebody like Frank Sinatra. And he was called the chairman of the board. And he sang a song, I Did It My Way. And so we want to see the comparison between those of the days when I grew up and when the movies were good and wholesome and the TV shows were good and wholesome. We see how that's changed. And one of the things that it's changed, and we're getting back to what we were talking about, and I got into this and went down a different rabbit trail here, but one of the things we were talking about is that, and we played it last time, slow fade, how we slowly fade. And there's something that slowly happens to our vision. In fact, in the song, it talks frequently about be careful what your little eyes see, okay? And one of the things, you give things away. And remember Adam and Eve? Remember what Adam did? He was given dominion over the earth, and he gave it away when he sinned. He gave it to Satan, and he's now the prince of the power of the air. But there's something that happens, and I've had a lot of experience with this because many of my friends get cataracts, and they always call me and ask me if I'll take them to the surgery because they have to be very careful and not drive home afterwards, and they have cataract surgery. And what happens there? The lens is mostly made of water and protein. Protein is normally arranged to let a light pass through, but sometimes it clumps together. And when it does, you develop a cataract. And you should be able to see light and dark and maybe distinguish objects. But what happens in the advanced stage, it's like looking through a piece of wax paper. So we see that this in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But when I know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And one of the things I discovered, and one of the opportunities I had as the head naturalist for the entire county, I would come in to schools during their faculty meetings. They always had faculty meetings at each school on Monday after school. And one of the things that I did, I went and led the faculty meetings, and I would go to their school ahead of time, and I would examine the school outside. And I would see trees such as maple trees, and I'd come up with activities they could do. They could tap the trees, boil it down, and get into sweet water or all the way to syrup if they desired. And I would talk about the different trees, such as the willow trees, which you can get medicine from. That's the source of aspirin, by the way, from the willow tree. And then I started a program where each of its teachers would have, that had rooms that were adjacent to the schoolyard, I would have them start small gardens. And that's the big feature here. We want to see people grow. And one of the things that I was able to do is the students would go out after they planted their little patches of different foods. They would go out and measure them and see the growth. And that's what we're to do as Christians. We're to grow. And one of the things that happened kind of that was humorous is when I saw that they had oak trees, immediately I would remember that you could actually boil down acorns and boil them down and you pour off the water because they got a lot of tannin in it. The water turns brown. Once you get all the tannin out of them, you can make really great acorn cookies out of it. And I remember one of the teachers did exactly what I asked, and she was saying when we were cracking them open, we noticed that a lot of the acorns had these little tiny grubs in there. And actually, it was the grub of an acorn weaver. And what acorn weavers do is they actually penetrate the outer part and lay an egg. And when those eggs hatch, they eat up the acorn in the inside. Now, if you're a squirrel, it's kind of an extra bonus because you get some protein when you're eating the acorns. But we had to dispose of those. And, you know, I remember something else. How do you – your vision as a believer is different from a vision of a non-believer. And one of the things I had in my kitchen at home, okay, is a plaque. And it, what it is, it's a plaque and it has these white blocks and in between sort of gray or brown blocks. It's like wood. And when you look at it, if your vision is adapted towards seeing the dark colors, you see the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. But if you don't, you don't see anything. So we, as believers, we now have the vision. We now have the strings of Satan removed from us. So we want to basically remember these things. And, you know, I as I'm getting older, I'm realizing something. You know, I do not go gently into that good night, but rage against the dying of the light. And, you know, one of the things that I remember is any man's death, and this is a particular guy who I really respect, Don, and he said, any man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in humanity. Therefore, never know who the bell tolls for. It tolls for thee. In other words, there's a bell tolling. And one of the things that they did in the medieval times is when somebody died, now they always had the church bells ringing. They had what was called in the Lutheran and in the Catholic churches, they had De Angelis. And at 6 in the morning, they would ring the bells. At 12, they would ring them again. And at 6, they would ring them again. And you were supposed to stop where you were and recite De Angelis, which basically is the angel of the Lord declared to Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then they would go on, let us pray, poor faith, we beseech thee, O God. You say a prayer every time you heard that. And so we have to remember, I was a member for a while, actually still am officially, of a Catholic organization, which is the Knights of Columbus. And one of the things is they had a theme, and their theme was Carpe Diem, Tempus Fugit, Momentum Mori. Time flies, remember death. Seize the day. This is how we're to act as believers. And, you know, one of the things I got to do was my grandparents used to watch me a lot because my parents both worked. And in the summer, I would stay with them for weeks. And my Aunt Bonnie was only actually 2 years older than me. We would bum around together and in the neighborhood and so forth. But at the end of the street was a church called Holy Rosary. And they had these monstrous bells. And they would ring at 6 in the morning. And I would hear them when I wake up. And they would ring again at 12 and ring again at 6. So, you know, the bell tolls for all of us. And one of the things I want to bring up is something that's very important. And that's about eyes. And we're talking about that part of the song that we've been singing, Beware Little Eyes of What You See, okay, and the Slow Fade song that we've been talking about. And one of the things you want to remember about things that using your eyes is do not look at the speck or sawdust in your brother's eyes, but pay no attention to the plank in your own. In other words, we really want to make sure that our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and we don't constantly be looking at to other people and seeing their problems and judging them, because we're not to do that. We're not to judge, because if the way we judge people, we're going to be judged the same way. So we have the Greek word, which means, it's an interesting Greek word. It's called aereo. And I want to get into this, but I want to just read this and end with this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That is the way we may, that is, that it may bear more fruit. So pruning bears more fruit. We'll talk about that next time. And so may God richly bless you, my beloved, and may God be with you. And look forward to that new series we're going to start, Children and Nature. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at comcast.net.
a father has compassion.